I just have a question about the roof. Can we stop recording for a second?
Yeah. So to start off, can you give a brief description about your position at the UAW?
Yeah, I am the statewide union president. So that means that I serve on an executive board with 9 other people who are elected by members across the state. I'm a grad student and a GSI at UC Berkeley.
Okay, cool. So what made you first want to get involved with the UAW?
Yeah, so I got involved in 2016 when I felt like the left needed to build a lot more power to fight the forces against us. So that's what made me get first involved. I was in my like second or third year of grad school by then.
And when you say like the forces against you, are you talking about like just the UC overall?
Yeah, the UC overall, but I think more importantly in 2016, I was looking at kind of big right-wing attacks on issues I care about, immigrants' rights, women's rights, economic inequality seemed like it was going to vastly expand. And I think for us to kind of fight back against those conservative forces, we need to have strong progressive institutions on the left that bring people together and through which we can have kind of real power. And so that's what made me first get involved, is that being involved in your union, I think, is one of the most important things you can do to have kind of shared and big power.
Mm-hmm. And when you first joined, were you like one of the general members of the organization?
Yeah, so I joined my first day of grad school. I joined my union. But I wasn't like super involved or going to union meetings until my second or third year. And then I started going to union membership meetings and then organizing committee meetings. And then I ran for local campus leadership before I ran for statewide leadership.
How do you feel like the overall like vibe of the community in terms of like the union meetings and like the people involved
were? So I mean, right after the Trump election, a ton of people went to union meetings because we were all, I think, looking for ways that we could come together and have kind of a way to collectivize our efforts. And since then, the union's kind of really grown over the last 4 years. I can't believe it's 2020. Over the last 4 years, union membership has grown, a lot more stewards and leaders are involved in the union. And I think there's a real sense among graduate workers that when we come together, we can transform our working conditions. And I think we see a lot of that happening right now. We've seen that happening over the past few months. And I think it's a real testament to regrowing a union.
Yeah, definitely. So how would you kind of describe the UAW leadership prior to like you moving up in the ranks?
I mean, I think there's kind of lots of different philosophies for how graduate student unions should work and be run. I experienced a union whose membership had declined for about a decade and whose kind of levels of engagement were pretty low in my experience. And so I feel like over the last few years, kind of everyone involved in the union has been really dedicated to rebuilding it and really building it up into a strong fighting union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Were there any changes that you like wanted to implement moving into your position as president?
I mean, it's really important to me that like everyone knows they have a union and that they should be a part of it. And that being a part of it means not only kind of signing a membership card, though that's a really important way for us to have collective power, but it means that there's like someone on the shop floor who identifies as a union leader, someone who like is constantly talking with their friends about the union and is making sure that their friends are participating in union actions and efforts. And so kind of building that structure is kind of been on the top of my list of the most important things we can do, because, you know, to have a really strong and effective strike threat that can win the things we need, like an end to non-resident supplemental tuition, housing stipends, free public transit, which I think we need as part of a Green New Deal, an abolishment of the Title IX system as it currently exists. All these kind of really big, bold demands is going to take everyone coming together. And I think that takes building kind of really serious and sustaining structures. So that's kind of been one of my kind of major priorities, is making sure we can build those structures. It's also been really important to me to get more international students involved in the union. It's such a huge group of workers are folks who come from abroad and face all kinds of discriminations in terms of visa, and all kinds of discrimination in terms of tuition, like extra tuitions that folks have to pay simply based off of where they're born. And I think it's really important, in order to fight for those issues, to have lots of international students involved in the union to take those issues on. So see, those two have been really, those two issues have really been at the top of my mind. In addition to, I think the third big one has been making sure that we have a real political presence in Sacramento as, you know, a public sector union. Our boss's boss's boss is the governor of the state of California. And so it's like very, very important, particularly looking at COVID right now, that we have a strong coalition with other unions, both to like fight on the shop floor, fight against the boss, but also to come together to make sure that the impacts of COVID aren't on the backs of workers. And so making sure, as a piece of that, we have a plan in Sacramento to move bills effectively, I think is very, very important.
And what would you say are some of the biggest struggles that you faced trying to like get people together and like organize?
I mean, I think the biggest hurdle has been just the fact that there was kind of years without structures in the union that really touched everyone's lives. And so I think just like moving from a place where someone like doesn't know about the union, hasn't heard about it, none of their friends know about it, and none of their friends have known about it for years, has really kind of builds a culture where people really don't think of it as kind of the air they breathe or something that really matters in a daily material way. And so that, I think, is one of the biggest obstacles, is kind of rebuilding from a place of not knowing, because I think a lot of us like come to organizing because it's, you know, part of the air we breathe for whatever reason, whether that's because of the way we were raised or our ideological predilections, but it's like something that we just think of as a common sense. And I think building that for people in places where it hasn't been for years is really, has been quite a challenge. And then I think, you know, the other big challenge is that the University of California doesn't want to treat us the way we deserve, right? Like that is the other major challenge is the boss.
Yeah.
So the question is like, how do you transform the conditions of power to make the boss, cause the boss to care?
So right now, what are the kind of methods that you're using to kind of like re-engage people and like re-stimulate that culture of like caring about the union and like knowing about that organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of a variety of tactics we take. I mean, running campaigns about issues that people care about, I think, is super, super important. And I mean, people are diverse, so people care about a lot of different things. So I think it matters quite a bit to have campaigns running on housing stipends and housing issues. I mean, that's a shared issue that clearly runs across the grad student workforce. But also we have a committee addressing issues of sexual violence and sexual harassment at the university. We have an international students committee that's really working on these NRST visa issues I was talking about. Working on having kind of projects and programs that are really addressing all of those issues, I think, is really important. So we have a way of talking to our coworkers that's really grounded in something that folks care about. And then, you know, like raising the visibility of the union is always very, very important. And so making sure people kind of know it and see it. But I think kind of at root, the most important thing is identifying people who folks have relationships with, because it's all based on real relationships. That's what organizing is. Mm-hmm. So making sure that there are people who people have real relationships with, who identify and care about the union, and identifying those people through kind of different issue campaigns and bringing folks into our kind of broader plan to win, I think is the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how have you kind of seen the like member engagement increase or just like overall shift as your time as president?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think we've seen member engagement increase in a lot of ways. I think we've seen, at least like, and my experience at Berkeley is the most kind of specific, but I mean, over the past few years, I've seen more members involved and engaging in union democracy than I have in years. And, you know, we've seen member engagement increase in votes and in elections in the union. We've seen member engagement increase in terms of like departmental engagement. We have people who like identify as the union in their department and who talk with their coworkers, who come to union meetings regularly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think the kind of whole COLA movement, while really, you know, the union didn't organize the wildcat parts of it, I think is really a testament to grad workers coming together and kind of realizing our place as workers in the university. And I don't think that happens without a strong union existing and without kind of a presence of a union that helps people to think through our relationship with the employer as workers, not just as students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, can you give a little more in-depth information on like how the union is kind of working through both like the COLA movement and also COVID and everything mm-hmm. coming with that?
Yeah, totally. So our union has, the university filed legal charges against the union for supposedly organizing the wildcat strikes. Mm-hmm. And we have filed legal charges against them for failing to bargain with the union over cost of living issues and for unlawfully disciplining folks at Santa Cruz who were on a wildcat strike. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our union has fought for decades on cost of living issues. This is, you know, one of the reasons our union was founded in the 90s was because we hadn't seen wage increases in years. Mm-hmm. Cost of living issues have been, you know, a big issue from the very, very beginning of our union. And just, you know, during our last round of bargaining, we tried to bargain over housing stipends, and the university said housing stipends are a student issue, not a worker issue. And that's been really core to our big problem in our union for a long time, is that the university likes to treat us as students, not as workers. Mm-hmm. And that's how the university is justifying giving folks housing stipends at other campuses. They're saying, oh, these we did this for you as a student, not as a worker, so we're not going to do it through the union contract. And I mean, all of us in the union know that it's better for it to be in a union contract. It means you have rights. It means you have protections. It means that it can't be unilaterally taken away from you. Mm-hmm. That's why we want a union. And so there's, you know, a really big issue with the university's kind of position on this, that this is, oh my God, it's dark, that this is just a student issue. And so our kind of relationship with the kind of cost of living issues is, you know, run deep in our union's DNA for a long time. And right now is taking the shape of union members organizing around an unfair labor practice strike authorization vote. Because given the university's unlawful behavior, union members can decide to go on strike together because of the university's failure to follow the law to bargain with the union about these cost of living issues, rather than unilaterally implementing changes that we have no protections over. Mm-hmm. That's something that's, you know, an ongoing effort. And, you know, the kind of timelines and all the kind of plans around that totally transformed because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, is bringing forth the worst economic recession I've seen in my lifetime. I was here, you know, this is worse than 2008. And it's the unemployment rates are worse than the New Deal era, you know, or the Great Depression era. This is like really, really bad. And we've been working in coalition with other organizations across the state, across the UC, across the country, to call for no austerity, right? In the face of this crisis, we need to have fully funded public institutions. We need free healthcare. We need paid leaves. Mm-hmm. We need housing. We need to cancel rent. We need it's really laying bare all the ways in which our system was broken already. And we need free childcare. Like, all these problems that were like problems before are just exacerbated now. And so I really get looking forward to the opportunity this affords us to work together with organizations to get more, bigger budgets from the state and from the federal government, to get more research funding, to tax the wealthy, to redistribute wealth in the state of California so it goes to the people who need it, so it goes to public institutions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really one of the major goals and opportunities we have right now, is to come together across all sectors and identities of the working class to really take on the like right-wing corporate forces that, you know, got me involved in my union in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. And can you touch a little bit more about how like communication is going right now, like across other collaborating organizations, but also like within the UAW in terms of like the executive board with like the other members? And
yeah, great. So yeah, I'll start from the shop floor and move up. So, you know, we have stewards in every department talking with their coworkers all the time about what's going on. We've been having phone banks every day for a variety of reasons to just like be in touch, check in with how things are going, make sure people are like doing well, see if they're having any workplace issues, and let them know about these broader efforts that we're engaged in on a variety of levels. There's also, you know, union meetings that happen on each campus every month, like monthly membership meetings, committee meetings, etc. Our statewide leadership, in addition to our executive board, there are elected leaders from each campus who sit on a joint council. That group just met last month to talk about kind of how to orient our organizing efforts amidst COVID and these broader fights we find ourselves in the middle of now. And then we also have our e-board that meets monthly to talk through our orientation and how we are collaborating with other organizations. I and a few other e-board members have been really involved in the UC Unions Coalition that meets every week, or has been meeting every week now given COVID, to talk about our kind of shared orientation around demands of the UC, demands of the state of California, and demands of the federal government. So we're talking about how to collaborate on federal funding, like the CARES Act, but in the next stimulus round, making sure there's lots of money for universities via research funding, working with the state budget to make sure that the cuts to UC aren't as deep as the state may want. The latest projections I've seen are they're looking at 10% budget cuts to the UC from its usual, from in terms of its state funding, you know, like only a vast, vast minority of the UC's funding, like 5 to 10% comes from the state in the first place, but that's gonna be cut by 10% supposedly. Mm-hmm. And so figure out how we, you know, have a joint effort to push back against that. And then also really having a united front before the employer who, you know, historically, last time there was a recession, the cuts came on the workers' backs, and that's unacceptable, and that's not the way it should go at all. And so we've been coordinating at that level, and then also working through coalitions with community and labor organizations across the state for kind of really bold demands around housing and full employment and healthcare, and making sure that we have a shared strategy around like schools and communities first in the medium term, that we need to have a plan that's around reforming Prop 13 and taxing the wealthy so that we can fund things like our public schools with the monies they deserve. And having plans around the Rent Affordability Act so we can have the rent control we need so that the landlords don't just get wealthier. Mm-hmm. So we've been talking about collaborating on those efforts and also organizing efforts around kind of shared corporate targets. And then we're also, you know, in conversation nationally with academic worker unions across higher education institutions in the UAW, because the UAW represents 80,000 academic workers across the nation. And then in conversation with workers who aren't necessarily just academic workers, but other higher education workers at different universities about how we can have a national strategy around fighting austerity. Mm-hmm. But like that, all of that stuff only matters if the people at the on the like shop floor are participating and engaged in it. So that's why it's really important that we are building those structures I was talking about and having conversations with people every day to get people engaged in this fight. Mm-hmm. And so we're currently talking about launching a big petition around not only our cost of living issues, but like what it would take to have a really kind of just recovery. And that would include, you know, addressing our cost of living issues, making sure people aren't laid off, making sure international workers don't face xenophobia that is unmerited.
Mm. Yeah. In terms of resources, how is it like organizing like these different levels of like collaborations and organizing within like the UAW and also like all these outside organizations as well?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by resources? Like how do we like divide energies between all of this stuff? Because Yeah, totally. Right. Like the question is like priorities and time and how we can do all these things.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the most important stuff is the shop floor organizing. And so that's where I think most people spend their time and effort. And there's a kind of smaller group of us between the executive board and the joint council who are kind of part of these more like statewide national conversations and finding ways for our union to usefully plug in. But really, all of that stuff's only meaningful if union members are really engaged and involved. So that's where the vast majority of difference time is being spent.
Yeah, definitely. Those are all of my questions. Do you have any questions for me again?
No, not at all. Okay. Yeah, I guess what else are you, what are the other kind of moving parts for your like trying to do a deep dive on the history of grad student organizing?
So the way we were kind of like structuring it is we basically are going through like old newspaper articles, and we also got access to the old UAW contracts, so that we can kind of like point out like what advances that grad student organizing has made in terms of like contractual efforts. And also interviewing like old UAW members, old grad students, for their perspectives on like the fight and also just like the inner workings of the UAW. So kind of seeing how it's like progressed throughout the years and like what parts of it kind of worked, what didn't, so that the overall like presentation of the information that we find is like a mix of providing a blueprint for like future leaders, but also kind of like recognizing that like we have done all this work already, especially because organizing is definitely hard work, and it's super easy to get discouraged, but especially because like for students that only go to school for like 4 years, it's really hard to see like a super tangible change within like that amount of time. So just kind of like showing students that like it can be done, like this is how far we've come. There's still so much more that we have to do, but we'll get there, you know?
Have you been, a really good article that I like to share with people about the history of our union is that SF Gate article about our recognition strike when we first formed our union. Mm-hmm. It took 6,000 out of 9,000 TAs going on strike together to win our right to unionize. And I find that to be a really kind of useful historical perspective on kind of like the type of power we have to build to really fight the University of California.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for meeting with me. And if you like, I can send you an email when the article's up, so you can check it out. Also, are you okay with being like quoted in some parts of the article?
Yeah, that would be totally great.
Okay, perfect. Well, I hope you have a great day. Thank you again for meeting with me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Enjoy the rest of yours.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.